Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's the Bucks tomorrow night without Kyrie Irving. He sprained his right ankle in Game 4. The Hawks and Clippers can advance to the conference finals with wins at home tonight. Hawks and 76ers play Game 6 with coverage starting at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio, TV, and the app. TV and the app will also have the Jazz and Clippers at 10 Eastern. 2 years after his retirement as a player, Dirk Nowitzki comes back to the Mavericks as a special assistant in the front office. ESPN's Mark Spears wonders how much he'll really do.
Mark Cuban always gets in the way. He is the owner of the team, but he basically serves as a general manager, too.
Mark Spears on the Max Kellerman Show. 2 weeks after moving up from Celtics coach to team president, Brad Stevens trades Kemba Walker and this year's first-round pick to the Thunder. In return, Boston gets Al Horford and Moses Brown. The top medical advisor to the Japanese government says the safest way to hold the Olympics is without fans.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We're on the NBA right now, and we have got stars making the turn. We have got stars under pressure, and I think we've got a group of three players who are dealing with a ceiling. And Paul George, I think, has the best position, is in the best spot right now to maybe finally turn the tide on a player who's had to suffer so much for so long. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr. and Trevor Scales with you. And I want to get to that, Trevor, because I think when you consider Giannis Antetokounmpo, Ben Simmons, and Paul George as a three-pack, three guys who are under a tremendous amount of pressure every time they step on the court right now, there is so much that I think we can unpack looking at all of them and then the individual case of Paul George that's getting ready to come up tonight. I'm doing the show in L.A. I am right outside of the Staples Center that's getting ready to host this game coming up later. We've also got to get to some things that are going on here because we've got Cole Beasley putting out PSAs on Twitter. We got a guy that spent 24 hours in a Waffle House. And, Trev, most importantly, I mean, I know you're probably like me losing your mind that Taylor Swift announced that her next re-released album was going to be Red coming out in November. I can't believe we have to wait 5 months for this. I don't know how I'm going to pull this off, but maybe a top three Taylor Swift album all time, a 10-minute version of All Too Well. Jake Gyllenhaal will never know peace as long as this woman lives and breathes. Like, you got to be feeling this, right?
Bro, I'm good on all that. I ain't gonna lie. Okay. I'm just fine. Like, I'm not a Swiftie. That's no slight to the Swifties out there because I don't need my mentions blown up. But I'm cool on that. Mike, I'm cool on that.
It has been, you know what, Trev, that is just me trying to, you know, choose my piece on the internet today because we got the Cole Beasley tweets going around. Yes. I saw some guy get his behind whooped on behalf of his lady in a parking lot outside of her work on the internet. Like, there are just bad things like that. We had a conversation earlier about this man who spent 24 hours inside a Waffle House because he lost in the fantasy league. But having your significant other call you in to do battle and then losing in that way didn't have us talking about something else. What would be the worst place to get your butt publicly whooped in, Trev? Because I think we landed on like a midnight service at like a church or like a christening or
like
something,
a place of worship, right? Where the tone, generally speaking, is solemn and peaceful and everything is geared towards loving the person next to you. If you walk in there and your tail end gets whooped, one, it was probably deserved, and two, it's a form of public embarrassment that I never want to experience in my lifetime.
That is true, because there are certain places you're not going to walk into, some place like that, a place of worship. Saw there was another incident at a wedding. Like, you're not walking into that spot unless you know without a shadow of a doubt that the person on the receiving end of that whooping did what they did, right? Like, there can't be any mistakes made in that. You have got to have ironclad evidence.
There's no nuance in those instances. Like, that is a clear cut. This person deserved to get his tail end stole on, and it has to happen right then and there. It can't even wait until after the benediction. It needs to go down whenever that person is seen, and it's just fisticuffs. We are running the ones immediately.
At Mike Golic Jr., at Trevor Scales on Twitter, what would be the worst place to get your behind very publicly whooped? Because I am curious what the answers are in here. We'll get to Cole Beasley in the Waffle House in a little bit right here, because those are going to be entirely different conversations in the way that we address this. But, Trevor, public embarrassment is kind of the theme of all that right there, and that's really what's been at stake in this NBA playoffs. And Paul George, as much as we've talked about Ben Simmons, as much as we'll talk about Giannis Antetokounmpo and his role in that Bucks team when they get to the postseason, reason. Paul George is the poster child for a unfortunately earned reputation of losing in the postseason. Based on what you've seen from him so far this series, now three straight 30-point outings with a chance to close out the Western Conference one seed tonight. How far does a win tonight and in this series go to erasing so much of his past?
It's going to work wonders for him, at least in the immediacy of this specific series, because you talked about the pressure applied to Giannis and Ben, which has been outstanding at the postseason's onset. This is more of a sudden change for Paul George. And in the first game, with said pressure, performed incredibly well, right? Like, it was 38 points, I think, is what he finished with. And, again, third straight 30-point outing for him. So he came to ball, and it was evident that he was ready to take on the lights with the absence of Kawhi. But now it's sort of expected to be sustained. And you may not get the same help that you got from your supporting cast members in Terrence Mann, in Marcus Morris Sr., in Reggie Jackson, absolutely hooping on the Defensive Player of the Year, Rudy Gobert. I don't know that he can guarantee that support, and so if that support is not there, is it going to be a Kawhi situation where he completely takes over the game? I don't know. Will you get production out of him? I'm done doubting the idea of production out of Paul George. But will he captain and carry this team is an entirely different question.
Well, and I think on the other side of all this, Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, is what kind of Jazz team he's going up against, right? Like, now we're hearing that Mike Conley Jr. may be returning tonight. Donovan Mitchell on the other side, who's been battling that ankle for most of the series, is probably going to be a game-time decision. And so when you factor all those things in this Clippers team playing at home, I don't want to yet say there are now expectations for this team, because it is still a franchise with a history that does not include a trip to the Western Conference Finals. And a player who, as I've pointed out time and time again, like, 10 playoff games shooting under 25%, the third most in league history on that. This is earned. This is a trust gained in drops and lost in buckets thing. But, Trev, looking at the three guys that we mentioned there, Ben Simmons, Giannis, and Paul George, it's probably fair to say that given his skill set, right, Paul George, knowing what we know about postseason basketball, should be able to have the most success of those three in a lot of ways, because he's the one with the potent outside game and a lot of these versatile moves that you need to be successful when the defense is going to force you to do the one thing you can't.
Yeah, we talked about the versatility of Chris Middleton in that Bucks offense is what makes him be the last chance opportunity go-to for that roster. Paul George is that, and then couple that with the defense that he plays on the perimeter. Paul George is, again, like you said, the most well-equipped to do every and anything for that Clippers roster. But it goes back to mentally, where is Paul George, right? Like, that's what it boils down to for him in so many different instances, because we've seen it crumble in seasons past. So where is it going to fall for him? Is it going to be something where he embraces it? Was the time outside of the spotlight helpful for him in order to get his mind right to take the reins? Or is it now he's like, I didn't ask for any of this, to quote the great Stu Gatz. And is he going to go out there and feel that pressure to a magnitude that is detrimental to him and his roster?
I have a really hard time not thinking of Paul George as the Stu Gatz of the Los Angeles Clippers at this point. But it's kind of right. But this is really where the rubber meets the road on this, because bringing up the mental is a crazy part. Talent-wise, of the three, I think it would be fair to say that Ben Simmons and Giannis, both more talented, which is crazy for a 6'9" wing defender like Paul George, who's got all of this ability. But again, when you look at the areas that they struggle, neither of the two I just mentioned there got an outside jumper that they can really count on. Paul George is the different one there. But it is so very mental with him. And we got to kind of look at the other half of this coin, because the Clippers are 0-8 all time with a chance to clinch a conference finals appearance. That's the longest streak in NBA postseason history. They've lost those games by an average of 14.9 points per game. But, Trevor, it's one of those things where we associate a lot of this with Paul George overall for his career, this playoff P thing that we've been giving him grief for a while. But for the Clippers as a franchise, we also got to wonder how many of those instances also involve Doc Rivers, who has now become, unfortunately, very well known for postseason collapses and is on the verge of another one in Philadelphia. Like, if the Clippers manage to pull this off in the same postseason where Doc Rivers might get sent home by the Atlanta Hawks in the Eastern Conference, I got to imagine there are going to be some very uncomfortable sports talk conversations going on in Philadelphia. More uncomfortable than they already are, I'd imagine.
Bro, Doc Rivers getting it from both coasts on the same day, that'd be terrible for him. Like, I would feel so unbelievably bad for him. But it's okay, are we now damning the Clippers franchise just in totality at this point then? Right? Like, since Doc has moved on, it's not to say that the 0-8 is no small part due to his reign in that franchise. But it's also, look, they done moved on. They've comfortably moved on, perceivably at least. Like, you got this far, so you can't blame Doc now. So what is it? Are we in cursed territory for the Clippers at this point?
And you know what? There would be such a reasonable understanding. Kawhi Leonard, your best player, out for this game, could be out for the rest of the series if it does go seven games. A lot of question marks there. There'd be reasons why, again, if the other side weren't also hobbled in this for the Utah Jazz, if it didn't look like you got an opportunity at home right now, what might look like one of the Clippers' best opportunities in recent memory, adjusting for all that. I'm very curious to see what it looks like, what the energy looks like, because I'm over here by Staples downtown in Los Angeles where this is getting ready to go on. What kind of nervous energy we might be getting out of Los Angeles, even though it's still the Clippers out here. Now, we're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. But coming up next, you can do a lot in 24 hours. You can spend your time where you'd like to here. Coming up next, we are going to look inside the case of one man who decided to make those 24 hours count in a way, boy, that seems like it hurt an awful lot. That's next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save in as little as 3 minutes at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Active day on the timeline. We'll get to Cole Beasley's public service announcement here as we have to evaluate and remind people what to get ready for as the NFL has rolled out some pretty stark line-drawing policies heading into NFL training camps as it relates to COVID-19 and the vaccine. We've also got developing news in the world of college football that we're working on over here as expansion has been the talk for the last few weeks. And excited to dive into all that. Trev, you and I both work a lot in college football. This expansion conversation has seemed inevitable here. And so to see them happening real and out loud like this alongside NIL, alongside the one-time transfer rules, it's a very different world of college athletics that we're getting ready to cover. It's one that I certainly support because anything that gives athletes choices in a 4 to 5 year window where you got time to play and maximize your value, that to me, we can solve all the other problems that come along with it, but the baseline to me is always got to be that. Are we doing right by that group of people?
Oh, it is without question that needs to be the priority in any of these moves that we make that allow the pockets to get fatter of those whose pockets are already fat, right? Like, that is the thing that needs to be kept top of mind. I find it fascinating as we listen and see the headlines roll across and Heather Dennis joined SportsCenter and everything like that. The idea the committee started with four members of it saying, hey, we're down for this. And it has since swung to 11, right? Like, that tells you all you need to know about the idea of this permeating in a gradual manner that you just alluded to, right? Like, it kind of started as rumblings, and now it's gotten to the point where people are full-throated with the support of this, and now it's becoming a very real thing when it felt like it was so far away in the distant future.
So we've got that, and that's going to be in the distant future on the show, the near future on the show, because we also have important business to attend here, Trevor, because the internet got taken over yesterday by a force stronger than anything that we just mentioned here. Lee Sanderlin, who does investigations in politics at the Clarion Ledger, yesterday took the internet by storm as a part of paying a debt owed to his fantasy football league here. This man, one man, in a Brandon, Mississippi Waffle House, came in last place in his fantasy football league, and as a punishment, had to spend 24 hours inside said Waffle House. For every waffle he ate, it shaved an hour off the clock. He started in there at 4:07 Central. He ended up eating 9 waffles and thus spending 15 hours inside this Waffle House. He was allowed to, if he needed to, have the reversal, go outside and maybe call a few dinosaurs and let some things loose to make rooms here. So, Trev, I want to to know strategy on this one. How many waffles are you thinking you take down in this situation? How do you approach this game plan wise? Because I don't feel like you can just roll into this not having an understanding of what you're going to do.
Mm-mm. As we said towards the top of this show, like, these waffles are different. These aren't your standard, like, far from Eggos, not even the Belgian waffles that you get to make at the crib occasionally. Like, these are different in that, I think you put it perfectly before we even got started with the show. This is a pancake and waffle form. It just happens to have crevices. So these jokers are dense. Understanding that, one, it's you don't do the starvation method, at least not until 24 hours out, because you know that you need to have a caloric intake threshold that is higher than usual.
Yep.
Then it's a matter of going in there, and I'm trying to knock out three of them in the first hour if I can. After that, I'm probably slowing down to a pace similar to that brother Lee's. Like, I'm not getting past nine, I don't think. Like, I'm a big dude, relatively speaking, but I ain't but 5'9", so I ain't got but so much space in the tank. So it's probably equating to about nine waffles over the course of 15 hours.
Yeah, Trev, I think this is always the interesting part, is you're right. You got to come screaming out of the gate because your body is stupid. Your body's going to follow along here. You got to trick the mind into not understanding how much you've eaten. And so you're right. You got to aim high coming out of the gates here and then adjust right off the bat. My biggest thing is, how do you dress them? Because I truly think, and I don't just say this because, you know, the Golic last name is associated with gorging yourself until your ribs crack from the inside out, but as someone who at one point in time ate an entire Waffle House waffle in one bite with our former colleague Prim Saripapat in a Waffle House down in South Carolina near Kiowa Island, I'm pretty confident I could do 12 in 12 hours and find my way out of there in half a day, but I feel like you got to go light on the way you dress it, right? Like, if I'm going for comfort, this thing is buttered, this thing has got syrup on top, we're leaning into all of the things because I want to go there to sin. If I am eating for speed and time, it feels like you got to dry things up a little bit, really use the water as the lubricant in this situation, and make sure that you are taking care of yourself in all the other ways, like maybe balancing out this sweet with some savory along the menu.
Do you go savorier though, or do you find some semblance of like an acid or a fruit-based type deal that you can wash and cleanse the palate completely? Not to say that fruit isn't sweet, because I know like combating sweet with sweet is probably not ideal, but if you find something less sweet within that Waffle House somewhere that you can kind of cleanse the palate with, I imagine that three or four waffles in, you'll need that versus a sausage or something that is like pretty heavy in and of itself.
Yeah, it's going to have to be lighter fare. Like, toast almost seems like it could be something that's an apt substitute. Maybe a little bit of, like, extra well-done bacon so you're easing up on the grease factor of all that. Honestly, I think the biggest game changer in here, and I think this is going to be a little bit divisive because we talked about water being important here. I think mixing in something like a Diet Coke, you need the bubbles to help break up the party a little bit, as the expansion conversation is not just for college football's playoff, but also for the waffles growing in your stomach at that point. I feel like carbonation is going to be your friend. I know ginger ale tends to cure all, but Diet Coke might be the partner that you need here, the Giannis Antetokounmpo to my waffle-eating Chris Middleton, so to speak.
That is excellent in analogy, in analysis, and in overall just technique. I just wonder, and this may be a good thing at the on the back end of this, that carbonation may work towards you ending up booting before you ever intend to, and does that take you out mentally? Right, like, carbonation is not necessarily friendly to the stomach in all facets. I understand that it does create little air pockets to get a little bit more in there, but it also, you might mess around and have some acid reflux on the back end.
And you know what? I know myself, you're going to have a fair amount of acid reflux medication on hand here. What I would say, Trev, is I puked before every football game I ever started and played in at Notre Dame. And so having to mid-game boot and rally is something that I have prepared for. My body is ready. Years of training have gone into sculpting what you see before you. And so I feel like that part of it I'm not overly afraid of here. Like, I have puked and lived to tell the tale pretty well in most instances. So
yeah.
I don't know where you are on that scale here. Everyone's kind of different about puke. So it's, you know.
Yeah, I'm out on puking. Like, if I hit it, and I'm like, no, it's not. That's an indication that I need to stop whatever I'm doing. That's typically not, I'm not going forth after puking.
No, that is your, and you're right to listen to your body. Like, I cannot claim that I am right. Like, I'm not a doctor. You should not be listening to me on all this stuff. That much I can say for sure. Speaking of not being a doctor, one NFL player decides that he is going to try and see what all this science is talking about. We will get to that after this word from Indeed. Now, the good news is your business doubled. The even better news is Indeed can help you hire the right people without the wait times of the typical recruitment process. That's because Indeed has a great hiring platform where you can make calls, schedule virtual interviews, and talk to candidates over video right from your easy-to-use employer dashboard. It's just another reason why Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all the other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Find your next great hire in Indeed.com/credit. As we guard our mentals online, we'll take this conversation about Cole Beasley, the vaccine, and the upcoming NFL season to the radio next here on ESPN.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Brown with breaking news. Kyrie Irving of the Nets will miss Game 7 against the Bucks tomorrow night. He's still out with that sprained right ankle. Game 6 for the Hawks and 76ers tonight in Atlanta. The Hawks can end that series. And our coverage starts at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio, TV, and the app. Will the Sixers recover emotionally from their Game 5 loss? ESPN's Tim Legler.
I'm very concerned that they're not going to be able to answer the bell for this one, because that was as demoralizing a turnaround as you will ever see in the NBA.
At 10 Eastern, ESPN TV and the app will have Game 6, Jazz and Clippers. Kawhi Leonard out for the Clippers. Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley Jr. questionable for the Jazz. The Clippers lead that series 3-2. They're in search of their first ever trip to the conference finals. Dirk Nowitzki will rejoin the Mavericks as a special advisor in the front office. He'll have a role in hiring the team's new GM and coach. The Celtics today trade Kemba Walker and their first round pick to the Thunder to get Al Horford and Moses Brown.
Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales, who you guys can catch on ESPN Plus every day as a part of Sports Nation. Great crew there. Been a part of it. Get a chance to go over there and hang out every once in a while. Don't want to miss that one. Make sure you always check that out whenever it comes through on ESPN Plus. And we got a lot to get into still coming up. News from Heather Dinich, our ESPN college football reporter, on the next step in the process towards expansion for the college football playoff. We got plenty to look forward to tonight in the NBA games. As you heard there from Doug Brown, our great SportsCenter update anchor, it appears that Kyrie Irving and that ankle still going to keep him out for the Brooklyn Nets as that series progresses against the Bucks. But we got some things to get to in the National Football League, because the other day we didn't get a chance to talk about it much, but the guidelines were released for the NFL as they get ready to head into training camp next month at the end of July. And the stark difference for life for players who are vaccinated and players who are not vaccinated heading into the 2021 season came into focus. One player has pushed back on it. We give you his words in One and Done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and Done.
One and Done's brought to you by Napa. Whether it's next day delivery or getting involved in their local communities, Napa goes above and beyond to serve you, because their motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. And Trevor, we've all been marveling on Twitter at what's been going on here for the better part of the afternoon here, because Bills wide receiver Cole Beasley, who's a longtime NFL veteran, now I believe 10 years into his time in the league, took to Twitter to push back on some of the new policies put in place heading into NFL training camp. He put out a public service announcement where he pushed back on those criticizing him for not getting the vaccine, for criticizing the NFLPA, saying they are not representing the players and all of their interests on this issue. Trev, what are we supposed to make of Cole Beasley's response here, now doubling down on the idea that, as he put it, he's going to go out here and live his life, even if that means not having the vaccine?
I refuse to engage with the tweet itself, but I will sit here and engage the concept of his logic, which is poor at best. Because, look, we can poke holes all through it, right? The idea that he's going to live his life despite COVID. You could very well do that and do so safely without the massive risk of death that is associated with this disease if you were to just get yourself vaccinated. And to go back to the idea of the policy that has since been put in place for NFL players and how it varies between those that are vaccinated and are not vaccinated, Dog, they're making it a football decision at the end of the day. They're making you say, look, are you willing to sacrifice your ability to be a part of this team for the sake of whatever principle that you are currently standing on? And I wonder if there are some nuanced guidelines that could be put into place courtesy of folks that have autoimmune issues or anything like that. That is certainly, it has to be present within the NFL as it is with the general population. So there are so many things to look at within, to go back to Cole Beasley's argument and push back to this whole concept that frankly don't make sense. The idea that you can parallel the idea of dying due to this disease with your existence in the NFL, it just flatly makes no sense.
Yeah, and that was the first tweet in all this. Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, but what you mentioned it's in response to was this the other day, the protocol modifications for vaccinated individuals in the NFL. Basically, when it comes to the upcoming NFL training camp, you mentioned making this a football decision. If you're fully vaccinated, no daily testing, masks not required at the club facility, no physical distancing, no quarantine required for high-risk exposure, no travel restrictions, no weight room restrictions. And on the other side of that, if you choose to not get vaccinated, which is a choice that everyone has, like you said, there are religious exemptions that get made. There are medical exemptions that get made on this front. But if you make this choice as a player that so many have claimed, like Cole Beasley, I have my choice. All the NFL is saying is we have an obligation to the rest of the people around here to keep them safe. And so you got to operate basically the way that we did last season. And Trevor, that's the part for me where I will be very interested to see, because if people truly have a well-meaning, deep reason for not doing this, not just claiming to do your own research in ways that are usually bunk, then there's part of me that will hear it out. I still think this is something that people should be doing for the benefit of the overall health and wellness of the world, because we do have some of that responsibility. But my own personal views on that aside, because they're not relevant to this conversation here, is I wonder how their beliefs or the beliefs that guys claim lead to this decision will stack up when it becomes something that could potentially land you off the field, that it becomes something that could potentially leave you in a position hurting your ability to go out and earn in this way. And again, the league, the PA, they have a responsibility to everybody. I know every player's out there taking care of themselves, but when it becomes a football decision, I'm curious how much of this is going to end up holding up for the Cole Beasleys of the world. And if they want to stick to that, then so be it. Choices have consequences, and this is one set of those consequences for players who choose to go this way.
I ain't even going to cap, though, because we done seen time and time again within the NFL itself where there were weird instances of star players having the positive test or something come out after kickoff. For instance, I believe it was with Dez Bryant. And there were decisions made to allow him to be in certain spaces and not take other people off the field. And there were just so many different things that we saw in how the NFL handled it when we were in, perceivably, the lockdown season of sorts. So how are you then going to switch up the swagger when it's now a little bit more freedom allowed, right? You're letting fans in the stadiums. You're allowing people to operate as usual when it comes to in-team facilities to a certain extent. So how are you going to handle it? Inevitably, when you're going to have an unvaccinated player pull some stuff right before kickoff, and depending on the name that's associated with that positive test, what then are you going to do?
Yeah, no, I think that's going to be one version of this conversation, is how they choose to enforce it. But Trev, I always selfishly go back to players in my position, right? Like if you're trying to make the roster on the back end here, and we hear that phrase all the time, you can't make the club in the tub if you're injured. This, as Cole Beasley references, is injury prevention in the way that he's approaching this. Because Cole Beasley, in his large, long, you know, notes app post on this, said, quote, "I'm not going to take meds for a leg that isn't broken. I take my chances with COVID and build up my immunity. I'm not going to take meds for a leg that's not broken." So I'd assume that Cole Beasley wouldn't think about going out there and wearing a helmet because science told him to do that, or wearing a seatbelt when he drives his car, or prehabbing to try and fend off any potential injuries there. Like, I just ask that if you're going to have a position, you make it make sense when you defend it. And those are the things, as I look at it, I have a hard time reconciling with, because the concept in there goes against the things that you do naturally as a member of a sports team here in ways that are incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, dog. You bet not duck early when you go across the middle, because like that is a measure of prevention of injury, and that is something that you are, according to your principles, are against. So That is where, again, as you said, you could just poke holes in this logic to begin with. Now, if this is just you not wanting to get the vaccine, base it off of that and just say it, right? Like, just come out and say that you are not about to do it because of, I just don't want to, right? Like, the whole bad faith argument of, I've done my own research, or we're going to play the numbers here. Every argument that is for the vaccine immediately shoots that down.
Yeah, again, we've seen plenty of players answer this question and saying, I haven't received the vaccine and I don't want to answer any more questions about it. And you got that choice when you go out and talk to all of it. But the more you want to talk about these things, that's fine. But when you come to the party with more words involved in this equation, the way that we saw other players get involved in bringing up the research they may or may not be doing, that's where this starts to get a little bit messier here. We know everyone has a choice, but just like when we go out here, every day we come out here and we say words into a microphone, and you guys all let us know if we say something dumb or not along the way, or if we say something that you disagree with or not along the way. And so that is kind of the way this works, but that's the choice that Cole Beasley makes right now, and he appears to be very comfortable living with that, Trev.
Can we just also talk about the idea that iOS Notes has been getting so much work lately between Rick Carlisle announcing his resignation and Cole Beasley in these streets giving just all kinds of takes with an E before the K? Hey, iOS Notes, just kudos to just the whole app, I guess, in general.
You know, it goes to an entirely different level, too, of like meaning to you in your life when you put it in the iOS Notes app. Like,
yes.
This cannot be accomplished in 280 characters. I am not going to thread this tweet here. What I am going to do is give you every ounce of strength I can muster in this Notes app here. Worth noting, Cliff, our great board op, our great producer, when he was reacting to the Philadelphia 76ers' epic collapse, did so in the Notes app. Like, you only go to the Notes app when you got something you really have to get off your chest.
And don't let it be a multiple screenshot notes. Like, that's just A1.
Like I say, listen, you got to learn a little way. There are still rules. This is a society when it comes to art treatment of the Notes app. But coming up next, we got to get to a couple of things in here. In the NBA, we got Brad Stevens letting everyone in Boston know what time it is in the new regime already. And some big announcements around Major League Baseball showtime heading into the Home Run Derby. Next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chinay Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales, sitting in for Chinay Igwumike today. You can catch him on Sports Nation right here on ESPN Plus, where you can also watch us. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. A guest join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And it's time for the MLB Weekend Preview brought to you by Credit Karma. Visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Credit Karma money, progress starts here. Trev, you see the news today, man. It's been a big year. Shohei Ohtani has been kind of like that Steph Curry level of must-see TV. When he was really blowing up with Golden State, everyone knew. Kids were getting there early for warm-ups. Everyone bought in. He's the big ticket in town right now because we've got a pitcher who happens to go out there and mash unholy dingers. And now he announced he's doing it in the MLB Home Run Derby. Trev, you think this is going to actually drive a lot of viewers here? Because I feel like this young wave of stars, Shohei Ohtani being the one of the leaders, this is added reason for me to go and sit and watch the Home Run Derby if maybe I would have balked before.
Dog, you look at like the top of the home run leading charts, and it's like filled with youth. We're talking Fernando Tatis Jr. We're talking Vladdy Guerrero Jr. We're talking Ronald Acuna Jr. And now we add in Shohei Ohtani into the mix as far as the idea of who could be in this thing. And yeah, dog, like this is becoming more and more so must-see TV, especially with Ohtani being the first to announce it in the Mile High City, by the way, where this ball is finna carry, like no question.
And it's nice to see Shohei Ohtani doing this. Like, we see so many other sports. I mean, God, House of Highlights and what it's done for basketball prospects here. Players putting out these things. Like, Shohei Ohtani announcing this information through an absolutely baller highlight reel put together that included having Home Run Derby on his back and all these different things. Like, all of it's just starting to seem like baseball and its young players are finally getting to a spot that's closer to the rest of these leagues, right? Like, we had all these conversations about can they market their stars, Trev? But the one caveat to that always was, you can't make Mike Trout want to be more outgoing than he is. You can't make him want to do things outside of play baseball at a level that we've rarely ever seen and, you know, do the weather on the news. There seems to be a genuine desire by a lot of these young players to be out and be in the mix in this way.
Hate them all you want to, but those flashy players are what draws eyes, whether it be to hate watch or just appreciate and watch. it is going to draw eyes when you have a little personality injected to whatever sport that you want to talk about. And so, like, that is the benefit of having this youthful sort of culture rise within the sport of baseball that has been also necessary for quite some time.
And baseball, Trevor's a lot like, I think, the more I've thought about it lately, it's a lot like a sport you and I both love in college football, in that it is a sport that started largely regional, that's got a lot of national elements to it now. And I saw David Hale, who does a great job covering the ACC as a reporter for us and a writer, and he said, is there a part of the 12-team playoff expansion that's supposed to make me value less things like the GoDaddy.com bowl that we've seen in the past, the Bad Boy Mowers Gat, like these bowls that are outside of what was the old BCS or the college football playoff? And the answer is no. Like, expansion and these young stars are about drawing in more of the casual eyes. The diehards of baseball are always going to be there for the usual stuff. You and I are always going to show up and rock out for the Cheez-It Bowl. Like, none of that has to or is going to change in a lot of this, but it just, I think there's more room for everyone than people have usually wanted to admit in the past on this.
Yeah, not only are people going to be attached to certain fan bases that will join the party now, but people are going to be rooting for chaos even more. Right? Like, we're talking 12 versus 1 in some instances, unless we talk about bye structures or whatever have you. But a 12th-seeded team has the potential to beat somebody that they ain't got no business beating. And folks will tune in just for the idea of that when it comes to the college football playoff tournament. And so, as you expand the number of teams involved in this thing, you're just going to get people that are rooting for chaos. And generally speaking, I'm one of those cats. Also, to name a random bowl that may diminish in quality, relatively speaking, the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl being named one of the bowls is finally, like, just, I think we haven't jumped the shark, because I'm still into it.
I was going to say, we can say anything we want about it. We know we're still going to end up there. Yes. By the way, as we finish up our MLB weekend recap, it is worth noting that the Arizona Diamondbacks made history. They lost to the San Francisco Giants and set a modern era record with a 23rd straight road loss. Hello, darkness, my old friend. All I can say is at least they wake up every day and still live in Arizona, because that's a pretty great way to go through life.
Yeah, so. But their manager, Tony Lovullo, said he goes to bed thinking about things larger than baseball at night. So it is, it's tough.
We are officially in it's bigger than baseball territory on all this. Whoop, man, somebody get those Diamondbacks a win, man. No one deserves that level of losing in their organization. It is not a great time. At Trevor Scales, at Mike Golic Jr. is where you can get at us on Twitter during the duration of this show. But coming up next, as we get back to the association here, Giannis and the Bucks were able to do it. That one word that we only use in sports, stave off elimination, in order to give us those best two words, game seven between the Nets and the Bucks. How much of the injuries around this Brooklyn Nets team going to affect the outcome of that game seven? Kyrie Irving still out, James Harden limping back into this thing? We'll tell you next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to Jhené and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.